So our 3 points that we're going to take a look at today, out of those six, we're going to look at prayer sounds like relationship, it sounds like worship, and it sounds like activation. So our first point, relationship, our Father in heaven. So again, as I said, as Jesus is teaching us how to pray, there's this aspect of speaking to God through that lens of relationship. And I think so often, I definitely have journeyed through it, and there's still times where those doubts come in, but hearing from the voice of God, I think, is maybe one of the hardest things we might face with prayer. So often, it just feels like, oh, I'm just here talking to myself, but there isn't that communication back. But what does God say about that? In John 10, 14 to 16, God says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. They will listen to my voice. And so when we're looking at this topic of hearing from the Lord, the Bible says that we hear his voice. As sheep, we hear his voice. Now, the issue might be whether we're able to discern the voice of the Lord, where we have lies, we have doubts, we have our flesh, we have things that people have spoken over us that are all clouded in our minds. So sometimes it's hard to discern, was that the Lord? Was it not the Lord? What's going on? But I think that's a really cool way of how fasting can be incorporated, where we silence some of those voices. We silence, it could be comparison, we can silence the busyness of preparing food so that the voice of God, which he says we do hear, can be elevated. And so in Psalm 139, 17 to 18, David says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. So for David to have this pretty bold statement of the Lord's thoughts about him can't even be numbered, we can assume that he had some sort of revelation of how many thoughts the Lord had about him, that they're not able to be counted and they outnumber the grains of sand. And so there's a lot of verses, but I'm just going to speak a couple of verses of what the Lord says about you. And so first one, you are a child of God. You are the branch of the true vine and a conduit of Christ's life. You are a friend of Jesus. Your old self was crucified with Christ and you are no longer a slave to sin. As a child of God, you are a fellow heir with Christ. You've been accepted by Christ. You are called a saint. You've been set free in Jesus. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You are chosen, holy, and blameless before God. You are redeemed and forgiven by grace of Christ. You are God's workmanship created to produce good works. You've been brought near to God by the blood of Christ. You are a member of Christ's body and a partaker of his promise. You have boldness, confident access to God through faith in Christ. You are a citizen of heaven. The peace of God guards your heart and mind. God loves you, and he has chosen you. And so, another verse. 1 Samuel 3:4-14. We have the story of Samuel and Eli. And in this story, Samuel is ministering to the Lord, and then it's relaxing time, about to go to bed, and he hears this voice, Samuel, Samuel. And he hears a call, and so he runs to Eli and says, hey, Eli, I heard you call. Eli's like, I never called you. He goes back. This happens a couple times. And then the Bible goes on to say, then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and laid down in this place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. So in this story, we see again, even though Samuel was not able to recognize that that was the Lord's voice, he was still able to hear it. And it also brings us into this key that prayer is relational between us and the Lord, but it's also relational in community with others. Through mentorship and through community, Samuel was able to identify the voice of the Lord because Eli had pointed him in that direction. And so in community, we're actually able to sharpen our gifts and hear from the Lord in multiple ways. And so for our first point, what does that mean for us? We're trying to be practical. I would say even when you're approaching prayer, stay in that heart posture of centering yourself in what it means to be a son or a daughter. Before you bring your request, before we do anything, we need to understand who we are in Christ so that our prayers are coming out of that place of being abiding in him and not from everything else, all the other possibilities. And also with the piece of mentorship and discipleship, sit and surround yourself with people who pray as well. People who you think pray better than you, and also maybe if you think pray worse than you, don't tell them. But in community, we can all learn from each other. And usually if you think you're better than someone else, you could also learn something from them as well. And so that brings us to our next point, which is worship. Hallowed be your name. So worship is really another way that we get to abide in the Lord. We get to keep our eyes on him, and we get to change our heart posture towards heavenly things. And the other thing is also, when we're talking about that piece of relationship, worship is a great way for us to focus back on who God is. There's so many songs that are so declarative of who God is that it just centers us back into relationship. And so for me, whenever I pray, I usually just use a physical copy of my Bible because I get too distracted. And that's one thing that I do, is I just have physical copy. If anything notification pops up, it's another red word and just from Jesus. So you stick with that. So Galatians 5, 22 to 23, we learn about the fruits of the Spirit. And we know that when the fruit of the Spirit is in us, we're able to create an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. If joy is flowing through us, if gentleness is flowing through us, if kindness is flowing through us, then that's a space where the Holy Spirit dwells. And example, I have a story for you. At my old school, I used to work in a private Christian school, and we would pray once a week for the school, anyways, just everything that had to do with the school. And this particular day, I was journeying through this time of really, Lord, any opportunity that you want to use me for something, I'm here, I'm ready to go. And so this day, we were praying, and I said, Lord, if there's something you want to say, I'm ready to go. And as we were praying, I heard him say, a specific person, he said, touch her shoulder. And I was like, okay, that sounds kind of encouraging, nice. I'll touch her shoulder and then bring my other arm around and then like embrace her in a hug from God. And I was like, listening, is that what you want me to do? Didn't really hear anything else. I said, okay, maybe not that. I'll touch her shoulder, pat her on the back and say, good job, that servant. You're just doing a great job here. I'm just here to encourage you. Still didn't hear anything. And so the prayer ended and I said, okay, well, I guess I asked him if he wanted to speak to me, I should be obedient. So let me walk over. And I had my speech ready. I was going to say, the Lord told me to touch your shoulder, and I'm here to just embrace you. And as soon as I said, the Lord told me to touch your shoulder, she jumped back. And I was like, oh, okay, what's going on here? And she said, do you know about my shoulder? I said, no, I don't know about your shoulder. She said, I've been going for testing for the past month. I have no idea what's happening, and this week I'm going in for surgery. And so we prayed for her shoulder, and at the end, she said that she was raised in a Pentecostal church, and she had craved for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and she'd gone for every single altar call, but she never had the evidence of tongues. And so she switched denominations. And she said during this, it was during COVID when, like the really rough part, when churches were really, everyone was separated. And she said, I have been craving for a move of the Holy Spirit for so long. And that's what that prayer was for her. And so it's just that example of when we are trying to abide in the Lord, really the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the Holy Spirit just follows us. And so the last part, three, activate. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So again, our main verse, John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So as it's so important for us to abide in the Lord, it's also so important that his words are in us. Praying scripture is so, so powerful. And also, Revelation 19:10 says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we can believe that what he did for one person, he can do for another, and we can apply that to our lives. And so if you need healing, pray 1 Peter 2:24. He died for our sins, and by his wounds we are healed. You can also pray stories. When we look at Peter walking on water, Lord, in this storm, keep my eyes on you. Let me not focus on the storm that I'm in. But as my eyes are on you, I'm going to be above whatever situation I'm in. Pray the woman with the issue of blood. Lord, I need you to address me as son. I need you to address me as daughter. I've been put aside. Or even if you're needing healing, like if I just come with my little faith, might be more than a mustard seed. I might have like a cashew amount of faith. Lord, please heal me as I approach you. Even the shortest verse, Jesus wept. If you struggle with emotionally, like no one can understand what I'm feeling, nobody knows the suffering that I'm going through, Jesus in that moment, even without, regardless of knowing that he had, was the answer and could bring that healing and actually resurrection life to Lazarus, still wept with the people who are suffering and who were mourning in that moment. And so use those, all those scriptures and stories to pray. And so the last prayer, or in John 17:20-26, the title says Jesus' last prayer. And this is what it says. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I've given them glory you gave me, so they may be one as you and I are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience perfect unity, that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them just as much as you love me. Father, I want those whom you've given me to be with me where I am. Then they will see all the glory you gave me because you love me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do, and these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. For the love will be in them, and I will be with them. I think this is such a beautiful prayer, and we see how Jesus talking about that abiding life being the evidence that Jesus was sent by God. Jesus praying in that moment wasn't just for the disciples, but it was for all of us right now and for generations to come. He says, I pray that that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. And it's also this beautiful picture of how us abiding in the Lord is actually a mirror reflection about how Jesus is abiding in the Father. And so today, if you have never made that decision for Jesus and you would like to, and something in the message just kind of pulls you a certain way of, you know, I want that abiding life. I want to follow Jesus. We want to give you that opportunity today. And so if everyone could close their eyes and bow their heads. And if that's you, I'll just count to three. You want to make a decision for Jesus today. One, two, three. And here in Loko, we'll join you in prayer. And so, dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that you had me in mind. Today, I choose to follow you. I accept you into my heart. And I choose to follow you the rest of my life, Lord. Thank you. Amen.